Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime.
Just download the Audacy app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Say W-E-E-I is a favorite and listen wherever you go.
Now, more Gresh and Fourier
on W-E-E-I.
Our goal is to win, for Christ's sakes. And you keep talking about the CBT, you keep talking about prospects and your long-term goal. Like, you just basically told us we ain't good enough, we suck, you let us down.
Angry Lou, Angry Lou.
A hole the size of I don't even know what in that bullpen. Keep playing like dog.
Great call by manager Lou.
Go get me a goddamn first baseman. That's what I want. I don't want an outfielder D8. I need a first baseman.
Okay, Lou, I'll ask you something.
What? How do you go into the season without a closer? How do you not address the closer situation?
Lou, what's up, dog?
Good, how are you doing? Good.
Well, it's always great to have you here, Lou.
I feel like what now it should be, why the hell do we have a closer? You don't need to address the closer situation.
I was just thinking the same thing. It's like, what he really should say is, give me a goddamn shortstop.
Yeah, now it's Oppo Lou, non-error Lou Merlone with us on the Harbor One Hotline. Lou's brought to us by Shaw's and Star Market, where you can win free groceries in their Grand Slam Summer Sweepstakes. Lou is with us on the Harbor One Hotline, and I'm assuming that crusty, old, hardo Lou Merlone is really struggling with this bad defense. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're right. You're right. Because, you know, ground balls need to be outs. Double plays need to be turned. And we're seeing what happens when they don't. We saw earlier in the season what happens when they do. So it's to your point. It's like I could sit there and scream and yell and be all upset about guys that, you know, aren't big league players, you know, that aren't defensively aren't everyday guys not making plays, but I'm not even blaming them. It's not their fault. I remember when I struggled at times, Grady Little would look at me when I was, you know, upset, whatever, and say, Lou, it's not your fault. It's a scout that signs your fault. And it was like a funny line.
How long did it take you to, like, you figure out that you got it?
Blame Heim.
Yeah. Like, it was a funny line, but that's the reality of it. It's not David Hamilton's fault. He's not an everyday shortstop. He's just not, you know, and they're forced and they're putting him there, and because there's some metrics that say that he is, but it's not his fault that Manuel Valdez doesn't have any range. He just does it. It's, you know, maybe should have found somebody defensively to kind of sit in, you know, to get some depth in case something did happen that could actually catch a ball consistently.
Yeah, and I think do you get a sense that most fans are kind of realizing that also, so there's not as much, you know, I guess anger from the fan base, or do you see it differently?
I think the anger is still like directed at the roster building, right? I mean, that's what, you know, it's looking to the off season. It's like, okay, well, you're not going to sign stars. If you're not going to sign stars, you got to at least sign depth, right? Like you look at that Cleveland team that they just played, and we'll play them here in this trip. It's like, there's a bunch of young athletes there defensively. They're outstanding. So they may not be great offensive players, and you pay for offense. You don't pay for defense. But, you know, so you don't want to spend money on offense. I get it, to get a corner infielder with a right-handed bat, fine. Well, find some people that can, you know, catch the baseball and at least give yourself a chance if you can play defense. But if you can't play defense in this league, as we've seen the last 10 games, you really can't be successful.
I'm assuming you saw this tweet that was going around about the lineup and then the salaries attached to the lineup that was yesterday. How telling is that when you see a tweet like that, like the lineup was out of all the guys that were starting, it didn't equal $9 million.
Yeah, just under $9 million, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is. It's kind of like the state of where they are. I mean, when the season started, we said this team is really, really thin. And since then, they've lost Giolito, Pavetta, and Whitlock. And this lineup, you know, can it go? Yeah, it can be a pretty good lineup, but it can't be without Devers, Story, and O'Neill. And what's left is what's left. I mean, that's just like the reality of it. And you're forced to kind of play guys, and you give Yoshida a second day off in a row as a designated hitter, maybe to clear his head. Who knows? We'll see if it pays off. But that's what you're left with. You know, and like I said, it's kind of like at the end, you know, just the, you're admitting that this is kind of who you are. And what am I going to do, lose sleep over it? Like, just roll the kids out there and see if they can play better baseball. When they catch the ball, they win. When they don't make errors, they win.
Sounds pretty simple.
Yeah, Lou, it does sound simple, but we know that there are human beings involved. How difficult is it going to be for Alex Cora, the pitching coaches, Andrew Bailey, people like that, to sort of keep the pitchers' heads on straight if the errors become an epidemic with this team, which it looks like it's going to be all year long?
Yeah, until they find some answers. I mean, all you can do is go out and do your job. I mean, we see it right now. The Red Sox lead the majors in team ERA. They also lead the majors in giving up unearned runs. So the pitchers can basically sit there and say, we're doing our job. Like, I'm doing my job. I have bases loaded, one out. I got a ground ball to third base that was flipped to second, that a changeup was thrown from second to first. And the arms just aren't there enough to turn it and get out of that inning. And, you know, what can I do? So you just have to kind of bear with it, continue to do your job and try to improve yourself. And, you know, hopefully if it's – I don't think this is going to be the long-term answer at shortstop. I think there's changes to be made. Rafael will be at short, in my opinion, if O'Neill never got hurt. I think Romy Gonzalez comes back. I think he takes a spot. I think a kid like Eddie Alvarez down at AAA comes up. He takes a spot. Maybe even Nick Sogard takes a spot. You need a line shift. You need some new bodies. See if, you know, we get three or four other guys that can catch the baseball.
Is it too early to panic? Like, if you're Cora, are you just kind of at the same stage you were at last week at acceptance?
Yeah, there's not going to be any panic. Like, panic what? That they're not going to win the World Series now because of the injuries? Like, that.
Well,
like,
no. I would say panic is like, hey, I would at least think, hey, we'll be competitive, you know, at the trade deadline. I mean, that's what I'm talking. If you're talking about where I thought his goal was, Cora's goal was like, listen, I want to be competitive and be at least part of the conversation.
Yeah, and sometimes what you want and what you are, maybe sometimes the two different things based on what you're left with. And I think that's kind of, you know, this whole thing about like Cora being in a good place mentally, physically, everything else, I think it's just an admission that this is who I have on my team. And if I'm forced to play these guys at short and he can't make plays, this, what else can I do? This is all I've been given. So, you know, it's like this acceptance of I can't lose sleep over it. Like, I think that was him last year, wanting more, wanting help, not getting more, and just sort of sitting back going, okay, I'm not going to let that beat me up this year. Like, if David Hamilton and Emmanuel Valdez, you know, doesn't have much range, and Reyes doesn't play a good third base, like, what, you going to get mad at that? Or are you going to just sit there and go, yeah, because they're not good. So, I'll keep working with them. I keep trying to get them to improve. We'll continue to work. We'll continue to try. The effort's going to be there. But in the end, if we don't win games because of it, what am I going to do? Go home, beat myself up over it? We'll just continue to try to teach and get better.
Blue, how much of the defensive issues come down to just lack of execution and, in some instances, lack of communication? Is communication a problem amongst those guys in the infield? And I know I'm looking at the whole Tyler O'Neill thing as really, you know, a shining example, but is communication a problem?
I just think lack of experience and talent is a bigger problem, you know. And, like, O'Neill and Devers. O'Neill's been out in right field all year long for the most part. you know, and I don't even know if he had a start in left field, but first time he's out there, two guys trying to make a play, going at it hard, and just, you know, haven't really played much together with him, a guy behind him like that. I don't, you know, it's just miscommunication, but I feel like a lot of it is, and you get this with young players that aren't defensive-minded players. When they get in the field defensively, there's some panic. You know, there's some, you know, lack of confidence, lack of experience. And I think that's kind of, you know, the reality of where you are. Now, you wait that thing out and hope the game slows them down. You can. Or you can try some other bodies and see if they, you know, get off to a good start. Who knows?
Yeah, so I was watching the post game on Nesson, and, you know, Tom Caron was talking about they were trying to just figure out what the problem was. And he brought up the idea of that no minor league baseball in 2020. And that's why there's like this, you know, talent void with some of these guys that are now forced to play. How do you feel? Do you agree on that or what?
I don't think 2020 is the bigger reason. I feel like these guys race through the minor leagues, and let's face it, youth baseball, if anyone's familiar with it, there's zero fundamentals really being taught. It's all about how hard and how far you can throw the ball and everything else and how fast you can run and all this other crap. So, you know, we can sit there and talk about the fundamentals that this team doesn't do well running the bases and just knowing situational baseball, and we can blame it on coaching staffs. But the reality is, it's like they're racing through the minors. Those are things we were taught when we were spending 4 or 5 years in the minor leagues. Now they're up in a year and a half because they can hit and they can control the strike zone. But they don't know how to run the bases. Like the other day, like Willy Abreu running into that out at third base. Like, it's like, you know, of course, teams don't have any fundamentals. Well, they got young players that don't know how to play the game. And yep. The only way you can learn how to do that is through experience. That experience used to be in Double-A and Triple-A.
I know, but
for two,
I mean,
3 years.
But
now,
okay,
they like 50 at bats and they're in the big leagues.
I get that aspect, but there are some basic fundamentals that I would assume, just as a non-seamhead guy, that these professional baseball players would generally understand. And that doesn't seem to be the case. So it is just technically the players. It's the player, it's just a dumb player.
Like for example, I'll tell you, like a hitting program, right? Kid gets into the minor leagues, and they spend so much time on exit velocity and bat speed, and they use these heavy bats and these light bats and all these driveline things and all this stuff to get the proper swing decisions and all these metrics they need to hit. When they get to the big league hitting coach is like, yeah, you should come here as a finished product. I don't need to work on you with strength and everything else. You're in the big leagues now. You're here for a reason. Now we're going to talk about strategy and how people are attacking you. And then if you relate that to other parts of the game, like defense and running the bases, that's not the case. Like all of a sudden now the guy gets to the big leagues and he doesn't know how to run the bases. The guy gets to the big leagues and he doesn't know whether to throw to second base with one out or not. You know, and a guy on first. You know, and it's into an out at third base with two outs. Like they get there and they're like, why am I coaching this at this big league level? And it's going on everywhere in baseball.
Lou, it feels like, and I mentioned this earlier, how in the NFL we will hear people flippantly throw out modern offense, right? What the hell is modern offense? It feels like for a period of time in baseball, the only thing we cared about was how far can you hit it and how hard can you throw it. And now other parts of the game, like base running and defense, is being exposed. Did baseball lose their way and put themselves into this situation across the game, or is this just a bad job by the Red Sox and their minor league organization getting these guys ready to go to at least know what base they're throwing to?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, and I think that whole span of home runs, I think that was kind of like when the shift really took over. Probably thinking more of like a 4, 5, 6 year span.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of those kids in the big leagues now, that's like their time in the minor leagues, where, you know, as a second baseman, you can play shallow right field. So how much double plays are we really turning, you know, during that style of baseball? Balls are hitting in the air. But, you know, I just think it's an issue all around the game, fundamentals. If you talk to college coaches, they're teaching fundamentals more than they ever have 15, 20 years ago. The kids usually come there knowing how to play. A-ball managers, double-A managers are amazed at how much these kids don't know how to run the bases, don't know where to throw the baseball. Just none of it. And it's just, it's an ongoing problem that, quite frankly, in the big leagues, you should not have to be coaching.
Lou, I know that our mutual friend Christian Fourier, when you are, because you are on the road with the Red Sox, correct?
Si, senor.
Okay. Now, I know that your buddy Fourier will send you on wild goose chases for food in certain cities that he knows, right?
Yeah, and they're always closed. Yes, go ahead.
And I know that you know I grew up until 15 years old. I grew up Yinzer, so I know Western PA, and you're in the great city of Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Have you ever had a chipped, chopped ham sandwich? It's a real thing.
Chipped? No.
Chip chopped ham. So the original, yeah, the original Isley's, okay, I-S-A-L-Y, Isley Company, they used to have a million places around. Now it's like Friendly's. They're down to like three or four. However, if you are into what is essentially a grilled ham and cheese, except with tremendously delicious chip chopped ham, may I suggest you go to East Ohio Street in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Make sure your wallet's in your front pocket and go to Isley Company for a chip chopped ham sandwich. And I promise you, I've not led you astray. It is one of the more delicious Western Pennsylvania delicacies that you can have. And I just wanted to give you like a real tip and not send you on a wild goose chase for my own entertainment like others have with you before.
Yes, and as you know, and I love the pig. I'm just letting you know now.
Oh yeah,
so I will.
You did on Swan.
Check it out. But given how I've gotten burned before, just from this 10-2 period, I'll probably look it up and just make sure that it is open.
There's only three locations left, and there might be one closer to where you're staying. And you can always, is Bob Walk still doing stuff down there? The old pitcher.
I don't know.
I'm going to put you on the spot on that, but if you bump into old Bob Walk, he can probably clue you in from back in the Leland days. And
right.
I think he's still around. I don't know.
So I just checked up the picture of it, Lou.
Isley's looks like the kind of place where if you go to the one on East Ohio, it's the kind of place that looks like you're going to get a good sandwich.
Yeah.
Isley's chipped
ham as good as I remember.
Telling you.
Whoa. I'm going to plug it in. I'm plugging it in as soon as I get off the air, and I will find it.
I love it.
I do love a good handstand.
You can definitely thank me later.
And
it's great.
And Lou, just before you go, do you know what a furry is?
Oh Lord,
is that someone that dresses up as an animal?
Yes. We have a. I want you to tune back in. Okay, I know you got things to do at 1:30.
Okay.
You got a lot of things to do, a lot of errands to run. You and Will, buddies for life. Okay, you got to get your new sandwich now.
Me and Joe on this trip.
Oh, it's just you and Joe?
No.
Oh, okay. So maybe you won't be out and about as much.
Who's going to get stuff off the high shelf?
Listen at 1:30. Yeah. You're going to appreciate this one. And 12:45.
Yeah, you get to meet Strudel the Furry, Lou.
Can I say something to Lou? This chip chop ham looks awful.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
It looks terrible.
Bridget, I'm telling you, it isn't.
Awful? No.
It looks, Google it, Lou.
I will Google it. I'll check
like
it out.
Astronaut food or something. I don't know.
Oh, no. It is delicious.
I've seen a lot of
prison
stuff on
food,
this
maybe?
Now.
It's delicious, swiney substance.
Food.
Listen, if this sandwich sucks, like I'm done with both of you.
Okay,
like just don't tell me where
totally
to go anywhere.
Totally fine. Listen, I understand that Fourier has tainted the pool and potentially ruined this, and I'm just trying to save it.
I think Bridget did us the best solid because she's downplaying it right now. She's comparing it to prison food. Now we got a chance.
At one point in time, I was almost 400 pounds. I think you would take the taste buds of a Largo, then.
But that means that you would progress. That means like you would basically eat anything back
true.
Then.
No,
like
no, no.
Anything. Will you
no taste buds, Lou.
No,
you're right.
Everyone knows I'm the pickiest eater. I ate
now.
Five. No. Even before, I ate five things, just a lot of it. And chip chop tam at
am
one
I supposed to believe that when you weighed 400 pounds, you were a picky eater?
Lou, it is documented on record on this radio station that I am like one of the pickiest eaters going. I don't like soup.
Soup. That's the one thing you go to, soup.
No, but there's a hell of a lot more. Anyway, Lou, thank you, buddy.
All right, Lou.
Have fun down there.
Send us photos.
All right, we'll see you. I could have sent Lou to Max and Irma's for ribs, but everybody does that. Look at that. Look at that on there.
It's just a ham sandwich.
No, but what they do is, though.
I don't see what's so special. I thought it would grill it up.
That picture is giving it too much justice right
now. It looks like Arby's.
Yeah, you don't want it on a bun. I'm telling you.
You eat it with your hands?
No. It's in like a grilled cheese looking thing.
Grilled cheese with ham.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
It's a grilled cheese sandwich.
And I'm a very picky eater. Very picky.
The pickiest eater.
I am.
If somebody asked me, who is the pickiest eater? Andy Gresh.
Yeah, it's not, and I admit it. Like, I became a largo while eating just mass quantities of the really bad stuff.
All right.
You know this. I don't eat nothing around you on the whole.
No nachos, no cheese.
Oh, nachos, just barf nachos. On
no
chips.
No cheeseburgers. Mm.
Seriously. Like, Bridget is denigrating the great Chip Chopped Ham, yet if we brought in, like, a taco nachos or whatever, everybody would be in here like they're about to go to the electric chair to get some.
Yep.
It's gross.
And?
Again, it's gross.
Thank you, Bridget, for bringing up the fact that it looked like prison food.
I was going to say cat food. Some of the pictures look like cat food.
The pictures are not, you know, very good, you know. They're just not very enticing.
You just got to have one.
Okay. There it is again. See, look, you can go to Arby's and get the same sandwich.
Kevin Offroad, 4x4. Only person I know doesn't like nachos. Absurd. There you
Agreed.
Go.
Agreed.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.